Hey, this is Eric for ReviewFix.com. I'm here with Brandon, one of the head honchos for the Captain America Super Soldier game for the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. So what can you tell gamers about this game that's, you know, going to entice them to play?
Well, I know that one of the things that I've been hearing a lot today is please, please, please don't make this based on the movie. So I got good news. We actually had... really early on in development for the game, we were told we do not have to do the same storyline as the movie, and we can do our own storyline. So we actually started developing the game before we even knew what the movie exactly was going to be all about. We are set within the same time period as the movie, and of course, like actors and stuff like that from the movie are playing the parts for the characters in the game. But we do have our own original storyline, still set in World War II. And it was done by Christos Gage. And the really cool thing was that we started by designing a solid game, got a game flow, got everything worked in, and it felt good, felt solid, and then he came in and started writing the story within that framework.
What can you tell us about the story? We have spoken with Christos, but it's interesting to get the take of the team behind the technology of the story.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, essentially, we wanted to set the entire thing within one massive complex, and the reason for that was we wanted collection and exploration to be a big part of the game, and for people to be able to travel back to places that they'd already been. I think globetrotting and doing stuff like that doesn't really make for a great game flow for that. So we talked to him, and we worked out how we were going to create one kind of massive complex that Cap can explore and figure out. And so the storyline essentially is that the Allies during World War II have found these weird, strange weapons, and their technology is way beyond what they should be able to be making. They figure out that it's being shipped out from this big complex in the mountains of Bavaria, and Cap's basically sent in to figure out what is going on and how can he stop it.
You mentioned the fact that it takes place all on this kind of one big level or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of Batman Arkham Asylum, you know, in that they decided to keep it located in a big area, but one. Is the fact that you guys chose to do that a reflection of the fact that you really want to focus on kind of the, like you said, exploration and the combat of it?
It actually, the inspiration for the levels came about 3 years ago, actually, when we first started putting it down. And we were actually looking at games. Arkham Asylum definitely is set up like that. But we were looking at Rapture from Bioshock, and we were looking at the Mole from Dead Rising as well. It was just this way to create an environment that became familiar to the user. The player can sit down, they know where they have to go to get to a certain place. It becomes something that they get a little more familiar with, and we wanted that to be something that you felt when you're playing it, that you explore it, you figure it out. If it's comprehensible, and you can figure out where you need to go.
What can you tell us about the combat? Obviously, Cap, you know, he's not a guy of powers. He's not a guy who uses a lot of different weapons. It's all about him and his just super strength and of course, the iconic shield.
Yeah.
So how can players expect to basically beat the crap out of people and fling that awesome shield around?
Yeah, sure. Our early prototypes of combat were more in line with what you find in a lot of action adventure games, which is that DMC or God of War kind of feel, where it was twitchy, there was juggling and all of that kind of stuff in there. And then we kind of sat back, took a look at that, and our lead combat designer is a big MMA fan, and we thought, well, let's give this a try. Let's calm it down, slow it down a little, make things heavy, make things strong, make it work with the concept of a character who is very, very strong and very, very agile, but not superhuman. So all the moves are things that you look at and go, wow, maybe if I trained really hard, I could do that. But overall, the way that we upgrade in the game is very iconic to the Cap character, which is the more you know about your enemy, the stronger you get while you're fighting them. So as you defeat enemies, as you find enemy intelligence in the area, you gain what we call intel points, which you can then use to unlock new core combat abilities. And then also on top of that, another part of our upgrade scheme is you find schematics in the environment that are specific to certain enemy types. You've got the schematic, say, for the basic guys who use the shotguns. You now become more powerful against the guys who have the shotguns, the specific to the enemy type of schematic that you picked up.
Is there, like, a combo system as far as him engaging in various moves? You mentioned the MMA. You know, there's a lot of tying together different holds and strikes. Is that the kind of thing we can expect to see?
Well, the best way I can describe it is that we don't have a combo system, per se. The moves that Cap does are all contextual to the way that he is approaching the enemy and the state of the enemy. So if you, say, run up to an enemy and hit grab, you're going to stun him. And then if you start hitting strike, you're going to get strikes that are specific to striking a staggered enemy, the guy who's stunned. You could get the same set of animations based on the fact that if you throw a shield as you're closing in, you stagger him. Now that he's staggered and you're hitting strike, you're doing those strikes. So it's all based around the contextual action of the enemy, not only the action of them, but the type of enemy as well. The animations when you strike a guy who's two heads taller than Cap is different than the ones that you get when you're fighting guys that are the same size.
So that'll lead me into my next question. What kind of enemies can we expect? I'm sure we're going to have like a lot of Hydra, goons that kind of just come at you from all angles, and then we're going to have the big bosses like Arnim Zola and Red Skull. Is there any kind of in-between there that we can expect?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Zola, for the listeners who are familiar, Zola is a brilliant geneticist and also technologist as well. So the enemies that you're fighting are actually his stepping stones in attempting to recreate Captain America or Hydra. Along the way, you actually can find these research reels where you're finding out how he came to these decisions and why he created these things. So you're going to find some things all along the spectrum. As he gets frustrated and can't create that perfect human, he starts going outside the boundaries of human evolution, and it starts to get kind of crazy with some of the enemy decks.
Can you tell us anything more about the shield and how you engage in using the shield and kind of the physics of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the big things I can say about the shield is when we designed the combat, we were all about figuring out what are the user actions first, and then we started saying, how can we work the shield into all of this? So there's four different ways to throw the shield. You can do a quick throw, you can do a quick throw that ricochets around the room, you can do an aim throw, which does more damage and throws guys to the ground, and then once you get enough focus in your focus meter, you can actually lock specific enemies in an aim state, and then throw the shield out, and it'll only tag out those guys who you've actually marked for a knockout. Outside of that, like I was saying, the contextual strikes, a guy who's staggered, that's probably going to take the shield to him, smash him in the face, and take him to the ground.
Okay, now I think the last time we saw a build of this game, I think it was at Comic-Con, there was a lot of like platforming going on. Is that still a big part of the game?
Yeah, absolutely. Our platforming system is really rhythm-based. So it's essentially, as you're contacting each of the objects, you're wanting to hit the mobility button. And what that does for you is Cap's going to move through the line faster and with more acrobatic prowess. And what happens is it gives you a bunch of advantages. One is that you start building your focus meter with a multiplier. So as long as you can keep that chain going of perfect timing on the platforming lines, you can start building up that focus meter. And the focus meter is used to do things like the crippling strikes, the weaponizing, which weaponizing is grabbing the weapon that the enemy has and start using it against the other enemies around. Things like super soldier mode, where you enter like a rage mode, essentially, and be able to knock guys out with one hand. And the other thing that happens while you're on the platforming line with perfect timing is if guys are taking shots at you, they're going to miss every time, so long as you're doing those acrobatic moves. If you get the timing off, it's not like you fall, but he'll kind of come to a stop and look a lot more mundane as he's traveling along the platform.
When our readers saw that last build, some of them were a little bit concerned that Captain was going to be too much like Robin or Spider-Man, kind of swinging around poles and things like that. What can you tell us to kind of allay those concerns?
I can tell you this. The main design pillar for this game was our combat system. And we wanted you to have a feeling of being a super soldier. You are a guy, you can be surrounded by like 15 guys and still be able to come out on top and win. The platforming is definitely a part of the game. There's the stuff you're seeing with the poles and all of that. It is pulling from the Cap comics. Cap is a very, very accomplished gymnast. We wanted to pull that into there. There's also some sections that we haven't shown yet, which involve a little bit more thinking and a little bit more of using things like ledges and climbing side to side and up down and things like that.
There was one other thing that our readers were concerned about, and of course this was an older build of the game, was that some of the animation, there was a little clipping, and sometimes Captain looked like he was floating off the ground. Has that been addressed?
Yeah, I'm not sure what, if you're talking about the build from
I think it was Comic-Con.
Comic-Con? Oh, yeah. Well, I can say this. The Comic-Con demo was a pre-alpha build, and things have come a long way. I would say take a look at any of the footage that's coming out of WonderCon, or even what's coming out today. It's definitely, we've been working really hard on getting all of the contextual animation all smooth. We've been getting great feedback. People, especially when you get your hands on it, I guess that's the best thing I can say is, you pick it up and you play it, it feels smooth. Like, it really does.
As far as, like, the stories and kind of iconic battles between the characters, you know, if you're a comic book reader, and I know you guys have a broad audience, but you do want to get those hardcore fans, too. If you're a Captain America fan, you've seen him battle the Red Skull so many different ways and so many different times. How have you guys gone about making that feel classic yet fresh?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we've included other enemies as well. We've got Baron von Strucker, and we've got Madame Hydra. Artem Zola is one of my favorites, as is Iron Cross. Great character as well. I think one of the things that we did was we did re-envision these characters as the World War II, a little bit more real-world versions of them. So, I mean, when you see Baron Strucker's Satan Claw, it's very different from what it looks like in the comic books, and it acts a little bit differently as well. But I would say for the comic fans, the thing I'm most excited about is the storyline that builds between Captain America and Artem Zola. And the question of, we push on the theme of genetic augmentation. Is it wrong? Is it morally wrong? Is it ethically wrong? And, of course, Cap is telling Zola that he's sick and that what he's doing is wrong. Yet Zola can turn around and say, but you yourself, you're genetically augmented. How is that wrong? So there's this play that happens between the two of them, and you get a little bit more insight into Artem Zola's mind. Christos Gage just wrote a wonderful story about that character.
Well,
new life to it.
Well, as a big Artem Zola fan, that's good to hear. I think he's like the most fascinating character of the group. You know, is there anything else that you want to say that, you know, we haven't discussed yet? You know, something to really get gamers excited about this game?
Yeah, well, I can say this. Anybody who's actually played it at, like, WonderCon, or I know we're going to be taking it to E3 as well, please post your comments online. It's one thing to look at a video and see what it looks like, but you really, when you get your hands on it and you play it, it feels great. The game speaks for itself when you pick up a controller and play it.
One other question. A lot of, you know, previous comic book video games, they tend to kind of surprise the gamer with, like, an unexpected cameo by another, like, Marvel hero or villain.
Sure.
And any chance we can expect something like that without giving away spoilers?
I'm not going to give anything away, but there are tons and tons of Easter eggs within the game that are nods to other characters and also events within the Marvel world and the World War II setting.
One other thing. What can we expect as far as online DLC achievements, extras, things like that?
Sure. Well, we spend a lot of time designing achievements and trophies. I think the people find them a lot of fun to figure out. A lot of them can actually be gained in the end game, where the whole complex is traversable. And we actually went so far as to make there's still enemy patrols while you're in the end game, and you can still go around. There's still fights to be had as you're finishing out all of your achievements. I thought it was really important that we still have enemies to fight. As far as DLC goes, I'm not aware of any at this point. And then as far as online goes, it's a single-player experience. We wanted to just make sure that we focused on making the best story possible. We didn't want to just bolt on some multiplayer that wasn't any good. And we also didn't want bolting on multiplayer to affect the main single-player arc.
Any chance we can expect to see classic costumes, alternate costumes, things like that?
There are two alternate costumes. They are unlockable in the game. It takes a lot, like, you've got to get a lot of intel to unlock them. They'll also be available through pre-orders as well. And they are the classic Captain America outfit that you saw in the New York Comic-Con. We've updated the arc on it, obviously, with the wing. wings and the scale mail. And then we also are doing the Ultimates 1942 outfit with the aviator goggles and the helmet.
And how long can we expect an average taker to take to complete the game?
Yeah, our playtests have been finding an average player not doing any collectibles, not trying to get all achievements. It usually takes about 7.5 to 8 hours to get through the game, just kind of beelining your way from objective to objective. You take into consideration all of the extra exploration that can balloon out. It really depends on how good you are at finding stuff, and that can be another couple hours for you to play around. And then we also have a challenge mode. I think there's 10 challenge arenas. They vary from combat to a little bit of collection. Some of them are platforming based, and some of them are just kind of a little tongue-in-cheek and kind of weird. We definitely had a sense of humor while we were making this game, especially in the challenge.